Welcome back, everyone. Racecast. We are here. I moved the mic away a little bit because I'm still aware that I get too close and it's a bit shouty. But look.
You do start off really enthusiastic.
Really high energy. I feel like it.
I like it. I like it.
Gets everyone involved. I think if you go back to our first ever episode, it's probably not the same. Like, we've become more comfortable on this podcast. And I think especially over the last few months as we started ramping up. But yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. It is, well, this goes out today.
Do you know what? Yeah.
Okay, right. So it is 10 to 2 on New Year's Eve. This podcast goes out in approximately 3 hours and 10 minutes. I'm going to have to do the turnaround.
Yep.
I've obviously got New Year's Eve plans, but the podcast comes first. So Happy New Year, everyone. If you're listening to it tomorrow, obviously it is New Year's Day. So make sure you start your New Year's off correctly, you know. Write down everything that you want to achieve in the year. You know, this is a fresh start. I don't care what people say, right? You can have a fresh start whenever you want, but the start of the year is a great time to do it, yeah. Right? If you're unhappy with something that's been happening in 2024, something that you've done, or I guess something that you haven't done that you really want to achieve, now is the time. We've got a lot planned for 2025. We've got some really big things in the pipeline. We are going to continue to pump out content. We're going to continue to try and improve. We're going to continue to try and be the biggest and best F1 podcast in Nigeria. And that's how our 2025 is setting up. So look, we have a big fat F1 quiz of the year, right? It's all 2024 related. It's probably going to really expose us for our sheer lack of knowledge, or what I will contest at the time as just a bad memory. But we want you to play along at home, so do get involved. It will be good fun. It's not going to be the whole episode, but it's coming up. So I think we've got some stuff to dive into. So as always, I'm going to pass over to Matt, and then the quiz will follow.
Yes, so before we get into that, I'm actually quite excited about this quiz. One, because you actually did some work on it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do anything, which was nice. But also, it is quite good every now and then to test our knowledge, see what we can do. But
I think the worst part about this is it's not even necessarily... I had some input into like what the... We used AI, naturally, ChatGPT. But like, I had ideas that I was like pumping into it. So it's going to be... It's not just purely a knowledge test. It is going to be like, oh, let's see how much you really did watch. How much did you read into? How knowledgeable are you guys in that sort of space? As in not just beyond like, oh, they know what they're talking about, but they really consume F1.
You know our caption on our TikTok?
What one?
The most...
unintelligible. Yeah.
You might see that today.
We're not liars. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we're coming here and we say... Oh, you know, if you want to learn everything about aerodynamics and how, like, fucking fuel lines and turbochargers... I've got no idea.
No.
I could barely tell you if I had a flat tyre, right? But we're F1 fans that have opinions, we're passionate about the sport, and we have a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah.
Look, if you're listening to this for knowledge, you're in the wrong place. If you're coming here to have a conversation about F1, to debate different opinions, perfect. That's
you're in the right place.
The right place for you. We're all just fans at the end of the day. If you want to listen to experts, I don't know, stick on Sky Sports.
Are they experts?
Well, you can listen to Anthony Davidson.
I like him, actually.
I'm not throwing shade at anyone.
He is knowledgeable.
I'm not throwing shade at anyone.
Anyway, can I quickly reverse a second? You know, you're talking about New Year's Eve, you know, what you want to achieve next year and all of that stuff. I have probably done the biggest... What would you say is the biggest thing that people do come January?
Fitness.
Yeah. So I've signed up to a gym.
A gym or the gym?
No, there's a new gym in New Haven.
Pure gym.
Pure gym. So I've signed up to that.
Nice.
I was going to anyway, because I thought, you know, alongside my running, it'd be quite good to do some weights, you know, tone a bit. So I've signed up to that. Does that make me one of those people who...
You only become one of those people
if
you quit come February.
Okay.
Okay, look.
So if I keep my membership until March, I've done a good job.
If you've got a New Year's resolution, right, just imagine exactly how you're feeling right now, right? Hold on to that feeling, because if it gets to February, March, and you want to quit, you're just going to come the end of the year, you're going to be in the same position you were at the start of this year. So if you're going to start it, firm it and do it. And that's how you don't become one of those people. New year, new you is fine, unless you give it a couple of weeks and then you just call it a day.
Well, I've got a half marathon in March. So well,
yeah, you're going to have to do some training for that.
I'm going to do some training. But anyway, let's talk a bit about... Well, actually, comment down below if you're watching on YouTube. What is your New Year's resolution? And actually, did you stick to this year's one? What was your one this year?
I honestly couldn't tell you. But I am going to document like publicly what my New Year's resolution is this year.
Okay, fine. Next episode.
Yeah, I don't know it yet.
Okay, well, have a think.
I'll think.
All right. Let's get into a bit of F1 news. So, Jack Doohan's place at Alpine will be re-evaluated at 2025 as it progresses.
I saw this.
Do you know what? I feel really sorry for Jack Doohan because he gets his seat, okay? One of the biggest moments in his career. Mum, Dad, look, I've made it.
The biggest moment in his career, really.
Yeah. All of a sudden, straight after... Could he lose his seat straight away to Colapinto? Going to get rid of him?
That was a nasty rumour going around. Yeah.
Obviously, he's only signed a contract for 2025. There's no contract after that. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't perform, will he lose his seat mid-season? You know, so Flavio Briatore makes it clear that if there is a driver who is not making progress, he will be changed. So I completely get...
That's fine, right? I think my issue with all of this is how like loudly and publicly it's being spoken about. All those rumours coming out, and they could have been completely false, about Colapinto might take his seat before he's even had a drive.
Yeah.
And now they're saying like, oh, well, you know, he's not safe. It's like, surely you want to instill him with confidence. You want to be putting this man like on a pedestal to really launch his F1 career with absolute confidence and belief in himself that he can go on and, you know... It's for Alpine, okay? They're not going to be going out scoring podiums, but they need to be fighting for points week in, week out. And they need two drivers with confidence in order to climb as high in the constructors' table as possible. We saw how important that was to them this year, right? They had the unbelievable result at Brazil.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I can't remember what the exact figures were, but it was like a $50, $60 million points haul.
It was massive.
I'm not being funny. If you're bringing in a young driver and then all this noise is coming out about him, like, oh, well, he's not safe yet. It's like, well, he should be. He should feel safe. Yeah. You've entrusted him to come into your team to replace a very experienced driver in Esteban Ocon, but then you're just going to bash his confidence. I feel like they need to be coming out and protecting him more.
I mean, the season hasn't even started for him. Granted, he got to race in Abu Dhabi. He did all right. He finished a race. It's his first race. He did okay. Nothing. It wasn't spectacular. But yeah, I really feel that actually for him, he was always under pressure anyway, because I think F1 drivers don't get the length that maybe they used to, if that makes sense. You used to get like a good season in you. If you weren't really performing, you start the next season. If you... Then you can change. I know.
Unless you're Sergio Perez.
And then you just get an unlimited amount of lives. But no, I feel quite sorry for him. I feel like he's under a lot of scrutiny already before the season started. And this type of press around him isn't great, is it? Before you even start.
I don't think it's the nicest. I mean, this is what I say. Like, this should be a time where they're really encouraging him. They're really... Yeah, you know, they're really pushing, like, look, this is why we got him.
Yeah.
Like, because he does this. He's this. He's got this X amount of potential. Not like, oh, well, if he doesn't perform, then he's gone. Because that, to me, I mean, I just hope he's resilient. Mm. And I'm sure he is to get this far in the sport. And I like, it's now made me actively want him to do really well. Yeah. So, you know, I'll be keeping an eye on him throughout the season now, because I'll be like, I hope he performs, because I think... And look, this is not... I'm not even saying all of this has necessarily come from the team, and we know how the press talk, and, you know, we come on here and talk, for example. But, like, even so, like, all that noise around him, like, I just hope it fires him up.
Yeah, I do. From what I see and what I read, it feels like he is the driver on that grid who is probably the most... under pressure from the start.
Yeah, which is bizarre, because you've got someone like Kimi Antonelli coming into Mercedes.
Yeah.
You've got Liam Lawson going to Red Bull. You know, you've got, even Lewis Hamilton is going to be under pressure.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At least he should be, because there's this expectation around Lewis that, well, he's the seven-time world champion. To some, he's the greatest of all time. He's going to Ferrari, joining like the most iconic team, I mean, in all of motorsport. If he doesn't come in and perform, you know, if he's banging out poor qualifyings like he was this season,
yeah,
how's that going to look on him? You know, is it going to... Nothing's going to take away from like how incredible his career has been. But you know, when that is sort of that no end to call it,
yeah,
you know, is that then going to start creeping in? Is it going to be like, oh, Lewis has signed this 3-year deal, but actually maybe he should be retiring? And I don't think that's going to be the case at all. I'm just saying it seems weird that all this pressure is on Jack Doohan when, yeah, I mean, you've got Liam Lawson, Kimi Antonelli, Lewis Hamilton, Ollie Bearman going to Haas. Yeah. You know, is he the replacement long-term for Lewis Hamilton? Well, in theory, he should be coming in and performing really well in that Haas.
Yeah.
So it does seem weird for someone going to a midfield team who had a... Let's be honest, like, Alpine had a poor season. Right, yeah. Just because they got those points to the tail end of the season, that was a great get-out-of-jail-free card, and I was really happy for them. But they had a poor season.
Yep.
You would have thought getting a young driver in there, actually the pressure is off him. You know, look, this is your year to really learn the car. 2026, there's new regs come in. We've got this in place. We feel like that could be a good year. You know, just use this year to learn. But no, instead it's like, he's not safe.
No.
Actually, he's not even driven. Maybe he'll lose his seat. It's like, what? How is... But
I think when you have someone like Flavio in the team...
Yeah.
They expect results instant.
And all of them should, right? I'm not saying like, oh, because new regs are coming next year, yeah, like all the pressure should be off him. Like, that's not the case. He still needs to come in and perform. I'm just saying, like, we're talking about getting rid of him before he's even raced.
Yeah.
That to me is unacceptable.
And I know some people, how they manage things. For some people, this is like a good pressure, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. You've got to perform, otherwise you're going to lose your seat. Okay, that puts the pressure. Some people actually perform better with that,
mm-hmm,
but there's some people who don't. So we're going to see very early which one Jack Doohan is.
Yeah.
So can he handle the pressure? We've seen some drivers just can't handle the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Some drivers can. It'd be really interesting to see what he can do early on. But I'm with you. I hope he does well. I really want to see him do... He's earned his spot.
Yeah.
He's gone through as a reserve driver. He's done what he needed to do, and now is his time to shine.
He's kind of done what few manage to do.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Dragovic. He's been a reserve driver for ages. He still hasn't got his chance.
Exactly.
But yeah, do let us know what your thoughts are on Jack Doohan. So, other news. So, obviously, with Lewis Hamilton leaving Mercedes.
Which today is today... Ferrari haven't confirmed when his actual start date is, but... I'd like to think that, realistically, today is his probably last official contracted day at Mercedes.
Yeah. Well, we'll say it is anyway.
Is that too soon?
Carlos Sainz will be, you know, livid that you're wearing his hat. But as Lewis Hamilton is leaving Mercedes, Luke, I've got a little quiz for you quickly. How many records has he set... Or has he jointly holds during his time with Mercedes?
Holy smokes.
I'll give you a clue, it's in double figures.
I was going to say it's obviously in double figures. Yeah. I'm going to say 16.
51. So he has set or jointly holds 51 different records. And this is Lewis Hamilton. This is Lewis Hamilton.
You're not going to read them all out, are you?
Get ready for it. No, I'm joking. But some of them, most consecutive race starts, 265. Previously, that was held by Nico Rosberg with 206. Most pole positions, 104. Most poles at some same Grand Prix, 9. Can you tell me where he's had 9 pole positions?
I think it's Budapest.
It is Budapest. Most fastest laps at the same Grand Prix, 7 he's had. Do you know where that is?
I'm going to say somewhere like Silverstone.
Italy.
What?
It just says Italy. It doesn't say where. Monza, sorry. It does say Monza. Most podiums, 202.
Yeah,
previously was held by Michael Schumacher, 155. A lot of these have he's gone past Michael Schumacher.
Did you also see in his time at Mercedes, out of like all the different positions you could finish, as in like podium or like first, or you know, finishing outside the top 10, finishing like inside the first place was his most finished position.
Was it?
Yeah,
mad, isn't it?
It's just insane.
But you look at this one. Most podiums in a home Grand Prix. Previously held by Alain Prost with 11. He's had 14.
It's insane. And, you know, this is a combination of a number of things. Lewis has had a long career in F1.
Mm.
You know, but he came in 2007. But in theory, by the time his Ferrari contract is up, he's been there for 2 decades.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And he's been performing at the highest level since he came in. And these last 3 seasons have arguably been his worst 3 seasons. But then you look at 23, actually wasn't that bad a season.
No.
24, he actually won 2 races. So I think we know how important the car is in F1. I will never, ever accept, you know, that it's all driver skill or it's all just the car. I hate the argument both ways.
Yeah.
It's really not. But this Mercedes has had a tough time, and he had a tough time at McLaren, pretty much after he won in 2008.
Yeah.
He got close a couple of years. But to perform at that level consistently for that amount of time is just...
It's impressive.
Crazy.
It's impressive. If you want to see all 51 of those, just go and check them out on the internet. They're all there. It's a very, very impressive achievements he's had at Mercedes. Right, Zak Brown has been talking to the press, and he said Lando Norris knows exactly how to deal with Max Verstappen heading into 2025. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. No one knows how to deal with Max Verstappen, apart from Max Verstappen.
Yeah, let's be honest. I mean, Max is Max, and at the moment there's no one that can cope with him. He's the quickest man on the grid.
Yeah.
You can't deny that. So I think Lando Norris showed this year that actually he doesn't really know how to deal with Max Verstappen. Sometimes you just can't deal with Max Verstappen because he'll just crash into you. So, you know, I'm not saying it's all positive, but I've said this before. I said this a few weeks ago. Lando Norris is going to be in a much better position mentally to go for a world championship next year. If he gets given the car, I would be really surprised if he choked it like he did this year. I think it's not going to be easy either way. But the way that Red Bull's going, I'll be surprised if Max comes out dominating.
Yep.
Really, really don't think that's going to happen. I think, if anything, the McLarens are more likely to dominate. You never know with the Ferraris. And Mercedes, again, a hit and miss. So this is why I think we've got a really exciting season.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone on the grid knows how to deal with Max Verstappen. That's why he's won 4 world titles in a row. You know, he went head-to-head with Lewis Hamilton in 2021, who's coming off the back of, well, which he was going for his 8th world championship. And you know, look, we'll exclude Abu Dhabi because that also wasn't Max's fault. Max did everything that was required of him. But for the whole season, you know, him and Lewis really struggled to deal with each other. He gave as good as Lewis gave.
100%, yeah.
And that is a massive compliment, right? And that's the reason Max has also gone on to win 3 consecutive world championships after that. So, yeah. I don't think Lando Norris will beat Max Verstappen if Max Verstappen is in like an equal position to Lando next year. You know, if their cars are similar as they were most this year. Well, no, I mean, I think Lando had the best car for most this year. But if Max and Lando are to go head-to-head again, my money's on Max all day long.
Oh, yeah. I'm very much with you on that one. I don't think anyone... When Max is on his day, no one can come close to him.
Yeah.
He's just in a different league. But I also agree with you. It all depends on how McLaren turn up next year. If McLaren turn up better equipped than they are this year, which I believe they will, I think they would have learned a lot from this year, I think they're in a very good position.
Yeah, I think... They're instantly the favourites for Constructors, and that's not just because they won the Constructors. That's because, you know, for the best part of the season, they were the fastest car. That might sound silly, because obviously that's probably why they won the Constructors, but that is why, going into the new season, your money's on them all day long. But at this point, how confident would you be against betting Max Verstappen winning the world championship?
You just wouldn't. No.
So, and this is why I said 2025, we could be in for an all-timer.
Yeah.
Like, we absolutely could be, because the gaps between the teams are getting smaller and smaller. You're seeing the different types of tracks where certain teams are prevailing. And you know, there's some weird mixes in there. So it's gonna be a mad season, I think.
Do let us know. I want to hear from you now, Luke. I want you to rank your top three news stories of 2024. So I'm going to give you a few here.
I mean, everyone knows what number one is. And
okay,
I know that the guy that hates us on Instagram is going to comment saying, typical Lewis fans,
yep,
putting the Lewis Hamilton... This was the biggest news in F1 for a long, long time.
Yep.
It's possibly the biggest ever sort of like driver swap that we've ever seen. So number one, before you read them out, is Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari, because what the hell?
Okay. So you can play at home as well. Do comment if you're watching on YouTube. Do let us know, or yep, even just let us know on social media as well. I want you to rank 1 to 3. What is your top three news stories of 2024? So started off this year.
I really hope this isn't a question in the quiz.
Yeah. Günsteiner obviously left Haas.
Yeah.
That was a big one. Charles Leclerc signed a multi-year deal with Ferrari.
That was pretty less surprising.
Lewis Hamilton leaving Mercedes, going to Ferrari.
Mental.
Adrian Newey leaving Red Bull.
Yeah.
For months, we were thinking, where's he going to go? We were all hoping he was going to go to Ferrari. When I say we all, Luke and I were. Adrian Newey signing for Aston Martin. Bruno Famin leaving Alpine. Mm-hmm. Then getting replaced by Oliver Oakes. Jonathan Wheatley leaving Red Bull as well. We had that. Logan Sargeant getting the boot.
Obviously, there was a lot of... we won't go into it, because we've spoken about it before, but there was a lot of news that came out of Red Bull this year.
Yeah.
I think Red Bull drama in terms of news headlines is probably number two.
Yeah.
Because that was like, it almost felt like the whole team was imploding.
Yep. God, you had Christian Horner drama at the beginning of the year as well.
Did exactly. Forget that. So that's what I mean. And then off the back of that, you've got, and this is like, it was kind of a catalyst for the, and they may have happened regardless, we don't know, but it was a catalyst for other things happening, like, oh, now Adrian Newey's leaving. Oh, now Adrian Newey's been announced at Aston Martin. Jonathan Wheatley is leaving as well. It's kind of like, wow, like, it kind of felt like it all stemmed from that. Whether it did or not, got no idea. But I would say Lewis number one, Red Bull drama number two. Number three.
Just while you're thinking, obviously, Daniel Ricciardo left. Liam Lawson came back in. Perez got the boot. Sainz to Williams. For me, that was...
That's a big one, you know, because that... I stand by it. That's a massive coup for Williams. They're like... They are absolutely blessed getting Carlos Sainz. I'm sorry, that is... I love Williams, right? I love what James Vowles is doing there. But as a team, currently where they are, they do not deserve a driver like Carlos Sainz.
No.
And that is not harsh. Like, I want them to be a team that has drivers like Carlos Sainz wanting to go there. But he's ended up there, circumstantially. They're the real winners here. And, you know, if 2026 is hyped up to what we James Fowles has kind of hyped it up to be, then it could turn out to be an unbelievable move. But I stand by the fact I think it happened more because he had one hand tied behind his back.
There was nowhere else for him to go.
Yeah, exactly. And Carlos Sainz is not someone that should not be driving in F1. Yeah. So, and look, he's gone to a great team. Williams are class. So I really hope they're able to pick it up.
So, number three.
Number three. Do you know what? It probably is the Günther Steiner news.
Okay.
That shocked me. But, like, obviously now seeing how Aiko Matsui has turned the team around and in such a short space of time, they sort of... people are taking them seriously now. Yep. Do you know what I mean? People look at Haas and they think, oh, yeah, they're no laughing matter. Whereas I felt like, to some extent, probably through Drive to Survive, Günther Steiner's personality had become what people thought of when you thought of Haas.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want. He's a great personality. And, you know, has had some good times as well, but I mean, clearly, evidently, it was the right decision, okay? And it was, like, not nice seeing someone like Günther Steiner leave the sport, but paid off, didn't it? And maybe it was all this time. We all loved Günther. F1 fans love Günther Steiner, right? But maybe that kind of made us all a little bit deluded, a little bit blinded to performance.
So number three, Günther Steiner. Number two, you've put Red Bull drama.
Yeah.
And number one, Lewis to Mercedes. Lewis to Ferrari.
Lewis to Ferrari, yeah.
Nice. Do let us know. I would say number three, Carlos Sainz to Williams. Mm-hmm. I do love Williams and I really want to see them back at the top again. So for me, for them to get in a sign in like Carlos Sainz is just phenomenal. Number two, I would have said Adrian Newey leaving Red Bull. That was a big one.
Yeah.
And number one, Lewis to Ferrari. No one saw that coming. I mean, look, a year ago, we were still, oh, he's going to be at Mercedes for the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Little did we know, literally a month or so later, he's leaving Mercedes and going to Ferrari. Completely blew our minds.
Yeah, I mean, it took everyone by surprise, didn't it?
And I think however, it was incredible news because it completely came out of nowhere. It has been a very, very long season waiting for this transition to then take place. So we're still not there yet.
Do you know what it was like? It was like, ever ordered like a new phone or a new laptop or something? Yeah. And like normally you only have to wait a day for it to come, but maybe it gets delayed or something. You've got to wait 2 days. You're just there like tapping your foot, like looking out the window. Is the delivery driver here? But we had that for a whole year.
Yeah.
So it's been crazy, but do you know what I want to find out?
Yeah.
I think us as Lewis fans are really looking forward to the Ferrari move happening, right? Yeah. Are Ferrari fans looking forward to having Lewis Hamilton in their team? Like, this is a question directly to you because I'm not going to sit here and claim to be someone that's been a fan of Ferrari my whole life. Just not true. I love the Ferrari brand and the team, class. But true tifosi diehards, are you excited to see Lewis Hamilton in red next season? Let us know.
I'm buzzing. Yeah. Just saying.
It's also always that thing of like change.
Yeah.
You know, but there is also something special about it being Ferrari and Lewis Hamilton. It's just...
I also want to know from you guys at home, do you think I want to hear from you guys at home. Do you think Lewis Hamilton will beat Charles Leclerc next season? Because there's many ways of looking at this because you've got Charles Leclerc. He knows that team inside out. He knows that car. He knows exactly, you know, what is expected of him from that side. you've got Lewis Hamilton, a seven-time world champion, so much experience. He's going into a whole new environment. Will he need that time to adjust, or will it be quite an easy transition for him because he's of his experience? If Lewis Hamilton doesn't improve his qualifying, then he will get lost behind Charles Leclerc. So
yeah,
I want to hear from you guys, and also yourself, Luke. Can Lewis Hamilton beat Charles Leclerc next season?
He absolutely can. And I have said in a previous podcast that I am going to show everyone how much I believe he is still capable.
Yep.
And not this driver that has fallen off, like people online say. I will put money on him finishing ahead of Charles Leclerc. Does that mean I think it's a dead cert? No way. Lewis needs to improve his qualifying, like you said.
Yep.
That is just fundamentally going to ruin his season if he does not fix it.
What will be interesting, though, and we've said this on the podcast before, if Lewis Hamilton comes out flying in qualifying, there'll be a lot of questions raised.
Yeah, there will be.
Towards Mercedes next year.
About all this conspiracy relating to them sabotaging him, which we've never truly bought into. But yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I think what will be really exciting is actually Charles Leclerc has got a huge amount of hype around him, right? Always has. There's not one single F1 fan, I don't think, that doesn't think Charles Leclerc is a great driver.
Mm.
But I guess he's often put in the conversation of the Lewis Hamiltons, the Max Verstappens. You know, his supporters generally put him up there in that regard. Now, I love Charles. I don't think he's done anything to prove that he's on that level. So it will be interesting to see him go head-to-head with Lewis Hamilton, to see where the bar actually is.
And I think if you are Charles Leclerc, you've got a lot of pressure on you next year. Because yeah. For a long period, okay, you've had drivers like... He did great against Sebastian Vettel, you can say that. He then had Carlos Sainz, and he did well against Carlos Sainz.
But it's still kind of been 50-50 between the two of them.
He's never really dominated.
He's never blitzed a teammate. No. And that's, you know, Lewis has. Max has. It's just like, is there a chance that he blitzes Lewis Hamilton? Probably not. So I think, I think for him, his sake, he has to outperform him. Because if Lewis is able to come into that team at the age of 39, and then beat Charles Leclerc, you know, the wonder kid, the protege, like Ferrari, the Tifosi's like wonder boy, that's going to be fairly damning. This might be harsh, because Lewis is a seven-time world champion. But that's got to be a little bit damning to his potential. And I say potential like he's not a really experienced F1 driver, but he's still a young man. That is going to get people talking, I think.
So where does that leave Charles Leclerc then? If he gets beaten by Lewis Hamilton next year, where does that leave Charles Leclerc with his Ferrari future, if that makes sense?
I've got two schools of thought here, right? Because one is there's no shame in being beaten by Lewis Hamilton.
100%.
There, you know, the same way there's no shame in being beaten by Fernando Alonso, Sebastian Vettel, Max Verstappen, Michael Schumacher. You know, I'm sure Barrichello wasn't going home crying every night. Like, he's like, look, what can I do?
It's well, he probably was, and then he looked at his bank balance and he was like, okay.
Yeah, I'm just good. Wiping his tears away with 50s. But yeah, that is obviously going to help. But I think there comes a certain... Valtteri Bottas said it when he left Mercedes. I admit it. Lewis is a better driver than me. And that is no sportsman, I think, when they're at their competitive best or peak, is ever going to admit that.
No.
But they'll know it internally. And I think if Charles gets beaten by Lewis, he's probably going to think, damn, he's better than me. And I'm not sure I can ever reach that level. But I don't think it's going to destroy him. No. And I would be really shocked, really, really shocked, if Lewis came in and wiped the floor with Charles. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Lewis will outperform him this year. But I also wouldn't be shocked if Charles did outperform Lewis, because Charles is a really good driver. Yeah. He's been at Ferrari for years. He understands the culture within the team and he understands the car. 2026 will be a big one. But at the end of the day, then Lewis Hamilton's going to be 40, turning 41 or whatever. It's, you know, I don't know. I don't think you could ever be down about being beaten by a seven-time world champion.
No, I agree with you on that one. Ferrari fans, Lewis fans, do let us know what your thoughts are on that. Right, so just quickly before we get on to our big fat quiz of the year. For just the 12th season in F1 history, the title-winning driver did not drive for the Constructors' Champions. I know you've discussed this before in the podcast and said about this. I'm not expecting you to go back to 1958 when it last happened, but I want to see how far you can go back and I'll give you some clues along the way. So you can play at home. So obviously this year, McLaren were the Constructors' Champions. The Drivers' Champions was Max Verstappen. The next one after that was 2021.
Yeah, and that was obviously Mercedes winning the Constructors, Max winning.
Yes. Then you had to go back to 2008. Who was a Constructors' Champion?
Well, it would have been Ferrari.
Ferrari.
And Lewis winning the World Championship.
Yep. 1999. I want to see how good your knowledge is. I'm getting you ready for the big fat quiz.
3 years old.
Yep. So, the Constructors.
The Constructors, oh, okay, right. I know the two teams involved here.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so I know it's Ferrari and McLaren.
Yep.
I'm just trying to think when Mika Hakkinen won. Because I know he won like late 90s. I'm going to say, but then Schumacher, when did Schumacher win? He won five in a row, didn't he? Schumacher, McLaren.
So it was Ferrari Constructors Championship. Hakkinen was the Drivers' Champions. Then
1994. Was that when Schumacher won at Benetton?
Spot on. And who was the Constructors?
Williams.
Well done.
Yes.
Yes. 1986. I wasn't even born.
Oh my god.
I'll tell you this one.
It was let me try. Oh, William. I'm going to say Williams.
Sorry.
And then Ayrton Senna?
Prost. Whoa. Sorry, you made me laugh so much. I'm just choked. It was Prost. 1986. I won't go back any more than that. But after that was 1983, Ferrari, Piquet.
I did pretty well, to be fair.
You did very well. Just one more thing, and then it will be time for the big fat quiz. Each episode leading up to the new season, I want to ask you one question. And it will be including each team. So the team today is McLaren. The team today is Mercedes. Can Antonelli beat Russell next season?
No.
You seemed very certain about that.
George Russell will comfortably beat Kimi Antonelli next season.
And why?
People underestimate George. You know, George has been up against Lewis Hamilton for the last three seasons.
Yep.
And done very well.
Yep.
You know, in terms of point scoring per season, as in placing in the drivers' standings, George beat him two out of the 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay, Lewis had the best result out of all of them, out of the pair of them in 2023. George won more races in that time. Okay, there's all the speculation. Lewis was running the testing setups in 22. This year they sabotaged him and... Okay, whatever. But let's not take away from the fact that George Russell came in as a young man, got pitted against Lewis Hamilton, seven-time world champion, who arguably, coming into the 2022 season, should have just been coming off the back of an eighth world championship.
Yep.
And did really well. nothing got to him. You know, George just put his head down and carried on. And Kimi Antonelli is extremely young. He's so young. 18. I mean, that's 10 years younger than me. And I feel young. So it's going to be... I don't think it's going to be a shock to him. But I think it's going to take him a little bit of time to... You know, even Max Verstappen came in at that age and raced at Toro Rosso. I don't think if you put Max Verstappen next to Daniel Ricciardo at that time, he would have beaten him straight off the bat.
I actually think it's going to be... I agree, George will edge it. He will do it. I don't think it's going to be as big a gap as what we think. I think Kimi Antonelli... There's something with this guy. They would not put him in a seat if they did not believe that he was the next big thing.
No, it's true, but is Toto just trying to replicate the Max Verstappen effect? Does he just want his own Max Verstappen?
Maybe. But I think Kimi's going to do all right. I think he's going to do all right. I don't think the gap is going to be massive between George and Kimi. I do think George will edge it, and I completely agree. He's done a brilliant job since he's come into Mercedes. But I think Kimi, there will be something about him. Give him a couple of races to edge it, a couple of races to settle in. I think he'll be all right. I think he will.
Look, I don't think Kimi Antonelli's going to come in and be terrible.
No.
I think he's going to be a really good driver that is inexperienced, sometimes tries too hard.
Yep.
Pushes too hard when he doesn't necessarily need to.
Saw that in Monza.
Yeah. He'll probably have some driver forced errors. And I think we're just going to see George just keep improving that consistency. And, you know, I haven't seen enough of Kimi Antonelli to sit here and be like, he's going to be a world champion one day. But yeah. I agree with you that they definitely see something in him. So I don't expect it to be, well, George is always just going to beat him. I want to see how he performs this season. I think George will comfortably do it this season. And then let's see. Kimi Antonelli may surprise me. He may shock me. Great. I mean, if he does. I love it when rookies come in and smash it. So I will not be opposed to that. Mm. But yeah, right now, George Russell, comfortably.
Okay. Do let us know at home. Right. Shall we get into the big fat quiz?
I hope this is...
Why is it called the Big Fat Quiz?
Well, you know, like the Channel 4 TV show, Big Fat Quiz of the Year?
Yeah.
So I just called it the Big Fat Quiz of 2024 or something.
So creative.
Yeah, I stole it, completely ripped it off, but it is a different format. And I think what you should do is write your answers down on your phone because...
Okay. So I'm going to, if you...
You don't have your phone.
Exactly.
Should I get you some paper? Let's write them down. Let's go organic. We are ready. Okay.
Yep.
We've got our paper. No looking at my answers because I can't shield them. Maybe I'll do that.
Okay.
Because well, I know what you're like.
This is proper serious.
Oh, now. But now I can't, I can't see this. Right, no looking. Okay. This is round one.
Okay. How many rounds are there?
Five.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Five questions per round. I don't want to make it too long and boring.
Okay.
What we're going to do is we'll do the answers for each round at the end of the round.
Like it.
So it's not like we're going to go to the end.
Okay.
Round one is guess the track, right?
Okay.
This is one that I thought of. So we get three clues per track. If you get it in clue one, you get 3 points.
Okay.
Clue two, you get 2 points. Clue three, you get 1 point. Okay. The idea is that the tracks get a little bit... The clues get a little bit easier each time. So, this is track number one.
Okay.
Clue number one. This track is the highest altitude circuit on the F1 calendar. I mean...
Okay. Got it.
You think you've got it?
Yep.
So you don't want to go...
Nope.
Okay.
But do you have it?
Yeah, I have it, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, track number two.
Yep.
This track features a castle as part of the scenery.
Okay, got it.
I think I've got it as well. Although part of the scenery does...
Yep.
So you don't want any other clues?
Nope, got it. Also, play at home. We might just put this whole quiz out as a separate part on YouTube as well.
We could do. Track number three. Track number three.
Yep.
Clue number one. And don't, like, I can't see the other clues, by the way. I have to scroll.
Yeah.
It's a temporary circuit with a big party vibe.
Oh, I wonder what that one is.
Do you actually know?
Yeah. Don't you?
Oh, I might wait for clue number two.
Okay, you wait for clue. I've done my answer.
Oh, this is hilarious because I think you've got it wrong. It has a section called the Marina Bay area. You can't change it. You've locked it in.
The Marina Bay. Well, hang on. No, that's a bit hard. What? So I can't change my answer?
No, you locked it in.
Okay, fine. All right. Yeah, fine. All
right. Okay, four. Oh, this is easy. Clue number one. This track is often nicknamed the Temple of Speed.
The Temple of Speed?
Are you winding me up? There's no way you don't know this.
The Temple of Speed?
No
way. Okay, yeah, no, I do.
Wait, were you just playing up for...
No. I had to think then. I think I got it right.
Okay, so no more clues?
No.
Okay. Holy. This is a hard clue. Track number five, right? Yeah. This circuit has 20 turns and is located in the United States.
20 turns. Okay, so
I think I know.
20 turns.
I've locked that in.
Oh, okay.
You're locking it in?
No, actually, no. I want another clue.
Okay. This track... Oh, I've got it wrong. This track includes an uphill start and a replica of Silverstone's Maggots Beckett section.
Perfect. Okay, done.
Oh, that's painful. Okay. Wait, do you just want to know what the third clue is for that one?
Yep.
It's near Austin, Texas.
Is that what it is?
Wonder where that is then.
I actually feel like I've got a couple of them wrong here. I'd be happy with... So how many points do we say for if you get it in one? Three.
Yeah, if you get it in one, you get three.
So 3, 6, 9, 12. So it's 15 points for grabs.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so track number one.
Yeah.
It was obviously Mexico City, so...
Three.
Yeah, yep. I've got three. Track number two.
Yeah.
Baku.
Yep. I've just realised, I've just seen your third and fourth answers and I've really mucked up here.
Wait, what? What have you put for number five? Wait, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Track number three, of course, I waited for clue number two.
Yep.
It was Singapore.
Okay.
So, 2 points. Wrong. What did you put?
Vegas.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Then I was like, yeah, but I wasn't thinking Singapore. I was thinking it could be Miami. Also yeah. A big party vibe.
Yeah, true. I just thought Vegas because I thought the whole strip and everything like that.
Yeah, so. No, it was a solid choice.
I have mucked up number four big
this,
times.
This is the easiest one.
Yeah.
Like this.
No, I know I've got it wrong.
So it was obviously Monza.
Yeah.
What did you put?
Just... Silverstone.
Did you say Silverstone? When has that ever been called the Temple of
Speed?
I
don't know.
That's really poor.
It is really poor.
And now, then... this last one, which, should I just go back, right? The clue for track number five was, this circuit has 20 turns and is located in the United States, right?
Yeah.
So obviously it's one of three tracks, okay? It's either going to be Miami, which I put Miami, so I got it wrong. Las Vegas.
Yep.
Or Kota.
Yep.
Clue number two, which is what you waited for. This track includes an uphill start and a replica of Silverstone's Maggots and Beckett section. Obviously, uphill start, there's only one track in the United States that has an uphill start. Yep. That's Kota. Clue three, which I revealed after we had put our answers in. It's near Austin, Texas. Well, I mean, Kota is in
it's Miami, isn't it?
Austin, Texas. So that was an easy one.
Yeah.
What did you put?
Austin.
Oh.
So
I thought you had got it wrong.
No, you know. So I got 6, 8 out of that. 8 out of 15.
I got 11.
Oh, okay. Round two then.
Round two. Who said it?
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are just... These are five quotes. So you have to match the F1 quote from the 2024 season to the driver, team principal, or F1 personality.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, so this is hard.
Yeah.
If I had a dollar for every time I was asked about my teammate, I could buy my own team.
Oh, okay.
So, okay.
If I had a dollar... Is this still three clues?
No.
It's just like...
That's all. You just get the quote.
If I had a dollar for every time... all right, I'm just going to go...
Someone with a bit of sass. Number two.
Yep.
The strategy was perfect until it wasn't.
Oh, I remember.
Who had a disaster strategy?
This is tough.
I'm going to say that was a team principal.
I'd be lucky if I get one here.
Okay, number three. I wasn't driving a car. I was wrestling a bull. I don't know who said this. I've not heard this, but I feel like I know the only person that would say something like this.
I was not. Okay. Yeah.
I know the team is under pressure, but we can't keep blaming the wind tunnel.
Ooh. Okay.
Interesting. Mm. I've got no idea.
I've just put a random... All of mine are, like, guesses.
Number three is the only one that I've, like, calculated. It's, like, a real calculated guess.
Oh, yeah. No, mine are...
Number four. I know the team is under pressure. Okay.
If you've got these at home, well done. You know your stuff.
I'm convinced my engineer is secretly trying to sabotage my Spotify playlist. Oh, I feel like I remember.
I'm pretty sure I know who... The only one I know about the Spotify is there's a specific clip that I've seen when they're talking about Spotify. So that's what I've gone for.
I don't know.
So I'm assuming I'm not going to get any in this point.
I think I'll be lucky to get one.
Yeah.
If you get any of these at home.
Well done.
Fair play. Okay. Ready for the answers?
Yep.
Answers for round two. Who said it?
Yep.
Number one, if I had a dollar for every time I was asked about my teammate, I could buy my own team.
Yep.
Lando Norris. Ooh. I put George Russell.
I put Max.
Ah, interesting. See, I put George because I thought maybe he's being asked a lot about Lewis.
Yeah.
Number two, the strategy was perfect until it wasn't. Who did you put?
I put Russell.
I put Christian Horner.
Okay.
Charles Leclerc.
Ah. Oh. Because I was thinking, did he say that in Spa?
Oh. I got this wrong. I wasn't driving a car. I was wrestling a bull.
Yeah.
I put Fernando Alonso.
Okay.
Because I thought that's the sort of thing he would say.
Yeah. I put Perez.
Max Verstappen.
Ah.
It just doesn't sound like a Max thing to say.
No, but I thought it was a Red Bull thing, if that makes sense.
I think I've got these all wrong. Number four. I know the team is under pressure, but we can't keep blaming the wind tunnel. I put Toto Wolff.
I put Horner.
Carlos Sainz.
Oh, Jesus.
And do you know how I know I've got them wrong? Because my last answer was Carlos Sainz. It's not going to be him twice, is it? Number five, I'm convinced my engineer is secretly trying to sabotage my Spotify playlist.
I put Lewis.
I put Carlos. It was George.
Oh, do you know what? We had the right teams, kind of.
Zero.
Yeah, I got zero. Darren.
So what's your total? You're still on eight.
Yep.
Okay.
Let us know where you are at this moment in time.
I'd like, is anyone beaten 11 out of 15? Because I think that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is one about team stats. So we've got five questions.
Okay.
For each question, you have to name the team based on their performance or shenanigans in the 2024 season, right?
Yep.
Number one. This team had the most front row starts without converting them into wins.
So, oh, okay. I'm between two there. Oh, I'm going to go... Yeah, okay. Was that a trick?
Yeah, I'm torn between two teams. I'm going to put one.
I'm sticking with mine because I know if I change it, then...
I'll be gutted if it's the other team.
Yeah, so will I. Can I get a half a point? No, I wrote both teams.
No.
Okay, fine.
Have you crossed one out?
Yep.
This team shocked everyone with a double podium finish at a wet race.
Oh.
Oh.
Come on now.
Oh my God, yeah, I was so slow there.
Jeez.
Okay, no, I've got that.
God, you literally just saw the penny drop when Luke...
Yeah, I was thinking back to
a
different time. This team's pit stop crew set a new world record this season.
Okay. Yep.
Number four. This team celebrated their 100th Grand Prix entry in 2024. I think maybe... Five. Four. Three. Two.
Okay.
And number five, the final question of the round. This team's driver lined... Let me go again. This team's driver lineup caused the most in-race collisions with each other.
Ooh.
Yeah, wow. I don't know. With each other. I've got no idea.
Who's actually... I don't remember...
With each other?
I don't remember that many.
I can only think of one.
Okay, well, I'm probably wrong. All right, answers.
Okay. Number one.
Yep.
Mercedes.
I put Ferrari.
I put Ferrari, but I actually thought maybe it was McLaren.
Yeah.
Who were you torn between?
McLaren and Ferrari. Yeah.
Wait, is this right? It says, so this team shocked everyone with a double podium finish at a wet race. It's put Aston Martin.
No, there's no way. It's Alpine.
Well, that's what I thought.
Yeah, we're taking that. Aston Martin. They haven't been on a podium this year. Fernando Alonso hasn't been on the podium.
Yeah. Well, and Lance Stroll certainly
hasn't.
Yeah,
exactly. No, I'm not having that. Alpine.
This team's pit stop... Oh, shit. This team's pit stop crew set a new world record this season.
I really hope I'm right. I put steak.
Red Bull Racing.
Oh, see, I was thinking for the longest ever pit stop.
But the longest ever pit stop was Valtteri Bottas
in Monaco 2021. Of course it was. Shit.
Okay, this team celebrated their 100th Grand Prix entry. I put Haas.
I put Alpine. I can't.
It is Alpine.
Yes! Get in.
But this team's driver lineup caused the most in-race collisions with each other.
I put Haas.
It's AlphaTauri. But they're not even in the sport. Is this from the right year?
Mate, you did the quiz.
That sounds like it could be from 2023.
Well, you did the quiz.
But it does say from in the 2024 season, specifically.
The big fat quiz that could be any year. Right, I'm taking 2 out of 5 for that. So that takes me up to 10.
Well, I mean, I got 1, 2, 1. I got one.
So you're on 12, on 10.
Because all I'm thinking is number 5, right? Most in-race collisions with each other is surely Alpine, because you had them colliding at Australia.
Yep.
Monaco.
Mate, I'm not giving you a point because that's not... Your quiz is wrong. Right.
Well, I just don't know how that's happened.
Round 4. I hope your battery's not going to die. Nah, you're all good.
Okay. F1 headlines 2024.
Okay. Michael Schumacher signs for Mercedes.
This is quite a good round.
Yeah.
Guess the event from these fake but accurate 2024 inspired headlines. So essentially it's a headline for something that has happened in the sport, but it's generated a fake headline.
So we just got to put true or false?
No, you have to guess the event.
Okay.
What happened?
Okay. Hang on a second. Sorry about the piece of paper. Yep.
One. Driver switches helmet mid-race, claiming the original one was too lucky.
And I'm meant to guess the driver.
Well, yeah, what happened? Mid-race? Did someone switch a helmet mid-race? It's just not even possible, is it?
No. What is this?
I didn't pull up in a McDonald's car van. Okay, so I mean, it's fake, but I think I know what it is.
What?
Okay, number 2. Race suspended due to track invasion by wild animals. So I think a lot of it is like hyperbole. It wasn't actually suspended. It's like they're making a fake headline off an event that happened.
Okay. So I've got to guess the track or where it happened.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean...
Well, or the event. So like something might have happened.
Are you sure that's this year?
Yeah.
Because I haven't been asleep for the whole year.
No, definitely, because it says 2024.
Guys, I am so sorry.
Team penalised for using tyres I don't even know what this is. Team penalised for using tyres a fraction of a degree too warm. Oh, I don't know. I actually don't know.
Okay. This is just mad. This is just, if you're listening to this, I apologise.
I can't believe you haven't switched off already, right? You will do after this one. I don't even know how we're going to answer these. Shocking. 3 drivers disqualified after crossing the finish line. didn't happen.
What is this quiz?
Don't know. Maybe it was actually the big crap quiz of the year.
Yeah, well, it's evidently, yeah. Number five.
What, have you not got your, have you got your answer for that?
No, because there is no answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't put an answer. Number five. Driver fined for TikTok dance
You've had a mare here, haven't you?
Driver fined for TikTok dance celebrations after podium finish.
All right, just get on with the answers. You've had a mare here.
Well, no, because AI's had a mare here.
Okay, but who did the quiz?
Yeah, but I couldn't review everything because then I would have seen the answers.
Okay, right. Question number one. Answer number one.
Oh. These are all actually very legitimate things.
Are they?
So, I got number one.
Yeah.
I got the track wrong.
Okay.
But I got the scenario right.
Okay.
So, it was number one, if you don't remember, was driver switching helmet mid-race, claiming the original one was too lucky.
Yeah.
It was Lewis Hamilton changing his helmet at the Singapore Grand Prix. I put Lewis at Monaco. Do I get half a point
for
that?
No, you don't.
What?
No.
I'm already ahead of you. I should get half a point
for
that.
No, you're not. No.
Right. I remember that. Number two. Race suspended due to track invasion by wild animals. Monza race was delayed due to a deer on the track.
Oh, see, I put Singapore, those lizards.
I put Singapore.
Yeah.
What's the race delayed at Monza then? I remember. I got that wrong anyway. Number three. What did you put for number three, which was team penalised for using tyres a fraction of a degree too warm?
I did Russell.
I did Lewis Mercedes, like, sabotage.
Yeah. But no, I did Russell because there was talk at that time that they changed pressures.
Oh, yeah, it's tyre pressures.
Yeah.
This is Aston Martin penalised at the Dutch Grand Prix for tyre heating infringement.
Fuck,
I don't remember that.
Nope.
Number four. Which was shocking. Three drivers disqualified after crossing the finish line.
Brazil.
Baku. Drivers were disqualified for breaching track limits in the final lap.
No, I do remember that. Yeah.
And number five, driver fined for TikTok dance celebrations after podium finish.
Tsunoda.
Lando Norris was apparently fined after a TikTok dance celebration at the Miami Grand Prix.
Was he? Did not know that.
News to me.
Well, I got zero on there.
I got zero. I just put Fernando for the last one. Well, because I swear there was that video of him on TikTok doing the griddy, so I thought... Could be a solid shout.
So round five.
Thankfully, the final round for all of you listening.
So technically, I'm 2 points behind, so I need a...
Are you? Well, I've got 12 points.
I'm on 10.
You're 2 points behind. Okay.
Are we doing double points here?
We can have double points on the
Yay.
Final round.
Yay.
Okay.
What is this round?
Silly season and driver trivia.
Okay.
Test your knowledge of the quirkiest moments and personalities from the 2004 F1 season.
All right, I'm going to lock in now. Because I haven't done for the last four rounds.
You've been trying really hard.
Yeah.
Number one. This is a hard one. Which driver brought their pet to a pre-season race? A pre-race press conference, not pre-season. Let me start again. Which driver brought their pet to a pre... Fucking hell, this is a tongue twister. This
You're
is
okay.
Like pre-race press conference. Pets and piss off. One. Which driver brought their pet to a pre-race press conference causing a hilarious distraction? That is just ridiculous.
Okay.
This could be wrong.
Yeah.
There's two people it could be.
Yeah.
Who made headlines for live... Oh, I've just drawn on the sofa.
God's sake.
Who made headlines for live streaming a gaming session just hours before a race?
Oh, okay. Lance Stroll.
Be taking those 2 points. Which rookie hilariously wore the wrong race suit to the grid?
Which rookie?
Yeah. The wrong race suit.
I mean, I'm... Okay.
Locked in?
Yep.
Which driver famously got stuck in their car during a red flag delay? Ooh.
Stuck in their car.
I think I know this.
Stuck in their car?
Five. Four.
I'm just literally writing anyone in.
Who pulled off the first ever reverse victory lap after winning a race? This is news to me if this did happen. This could all just be like complete bullshit, by the way. AI could just be pulling this out of its arse and I'd have no idea.
Reverse?
Well, yeah, I mean, it means they drove round.
Yeah, I know what reverse means. I'm...
Well, why did you say it so inquisitive?
Well, I'm not expecting them just to go, you know, look behind while they're reversing. I expect they'd turn the car around and go the opposite way around the grid. Can you, after a victory parade, did you say?
What is a victory lap?
Victory lap.
I don't know.
Ooh.
I just wrote down a random winner.
Yeah, I'm going to write...
Because it wasn't Pierre Gasly, was it?
Lance Stroll. Okay, I feel like you've won this anyway.
Ready for the answers?
Yeah. I can already tell by Luke's face that he's looked at this and he's gone... I don't really know what's going on here. Okay.
These are...
You gonna speak?
I don't know what's happened. Number one.
Yeah.
Which driver brought their pet to a pre-race press conference?
Yeah.
It was Sebastian Vettel, who brought his. It was a guest appearance at Monaco with his pet turtle.
I got that.
Did you?
No.
I put Lewis, I just assumed it was Roscoe.
I put Leclerc, I thought he's brought
the... Yeah, Leclerc was the one
Christ
I was...
sake. Okay, if the next one isn't right, I'm walking out. Yeah.
No, the next one is Max Verstappen.
Yes.
He live-streamed a gaming session before the Austrian Grand Prix.
Lovely.
Number three was Théo Pourchaire.
Oh, fuck it, I put Behrmann.
I put Behrmann as well, thinking maybe he turned up in like his Prima suit. Or...
We're both thick. Lovely.
Number four.
Yeah.
Which driver famously got stuck in their car during a red flag delay?
I put Tsunoda.
Wow, did you?
Yeah.
I didn't. I put Russell when he was stuck like upside down in his car in Australia.
Who was it?
Tsunoda.
No way.
Stuck in his... They keep calling it AlphaTauri. Was that this season?
Yeah.
At the Belgian Grand Prix?
Yeah. Mate, the mad thing is, we're now tied. Hang on. Let me just calculate. Eight... Ooh,
well, I can guarantee
eight,
neither of us has...
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We're both on 14.
We're going to need a tiebreaker.
Okay, what's the next one?
So it was who pulled off the first ever reverse victory lap after winning a race?
Yeah.
Daniel Ricciardo.
You're an idiot.
I said specifically from the 2024 season.
Okay.
What did you put?
I put signs.
I put Lando. I thought maybe he did it.
Well, I thought it was someone actually within this year.
We need a single...
Honestly, if you've had to listen to that, I do apologise, because one job I've given Luke, I could have actually gone on to Google and said, give me 2024 quiz questions.
Now, these are good.
That is an epic comeback for me, though.
That was a great comeback. You turned it around. I had quite a stinker in the last four rounds.
Yep. So, final question. Do let us know how many of those you actually did get. And if you did know them, well, fair play.
It's just given us a tiebreaker, which is who got the most overtakes across the entire year, and we know that.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a hard one because it's a two-parter.
Have you got the answer there?
Nope. During the 20, this is a tiebreaker, right? It's come down. It's 14-14.
Yeah.
Okay.
After, I know you're on the edge of your seats here because
after 25 long, long questions. Which, bear in mind, the first five, we were able to haul 15 points if we got them all correct.
Yep.
And I was on 11 after round one.
Yep. I was on 8.
I finished on 14. Not good. But the tiebreaker. During the 2024 season, which team suffered the longest pit stop of the year? Okay, so you have to get part one. This is where it's going to come down to. How long did it take in seconds? Because I think we both know who the team is.
Okay, so...
Should we just openly say the team because we know it? You don't know it.
Yeah, Stake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, are we going to write down?
I would write down Stake.
Well, we know that. We've got that one right. But we're going to write down the seconds.
Yeah. So remember, not minutes.
Seconds.
Seconds.
Okay. And it's the one who's closest, is it? Wins.
Yeah. Okay. What did you put?
I put 75 seconds.
I put 67.
What is it?
Are you ready?
Yeah. Oh, this is getting worse.
It was Alpine, and it was 27.3 seconds at the Hungarian Grand Prix due to a wheel nut issue.
But it wasn't, no.
Are we sure it wasn't?
Stake did like an over minute.
Well, that's what I thought. Longest F1 pit stop, 2024.
Bottas was in there longer than that.
Okay. We're fucking that up. Got the real answer here. The slowest pit stop in the 2024 Formula One season was Valtteri Bottas's stop.
Yeah.
At the Bahrain Grand Prix. Yeah. Which took... Well, it took 74 seconds.
Yes!
So, I have to hand it to Matt. He's beaten me.
Lovely. I wouldn't say that was the most legitimate quiz ever, but well done, though. You tried.
I feel like some of my answers were probably right if the year was correct. So, but yeah, anyway. That.
Well, to be fair, it was a bit of fun. So hopefully you actually enjoyed that.
And to be fair, you probably should have beaten us. But if you got any of those like sort of later questions correct, well done. Because especially if you got the Danny Rick one correct, because I was firmly fixed on 2024.
Yeah.
I didn't remember it happening.
Because I thought it was a 2024 season quiz.
Me too. But that is the end of the episode. That is the end of the year. Make sure you give us a 5-star rating wherever you're listening to us. If you're watching us, click like, subscribe, comment, get involved. We'll be back. We're here next week. We're here every week. Yeah, happy new year to everyone. Make sure you follow us. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We are posting religiously. It's been a good year. It's going to be an even better year next year. And we'll sign off there.